Port facilities, modifications budget, and a prioritized list for fiscal year 2011-12 action item. Good to see you, Judges Power and Heiberger. Thank you for being here. I'll have you introduce your panel. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. We're pleased to be here, and we're going to make two recommendations to the council today concerning facility modifications. First is to adopt the $30 million for fiscal year 11-12 and to adopt prioritization list of facility modifications. And again, with me here today is Judge Power is head of the Facility Modification Working Group. Judge Heiberger is a member, and Patrick McGrath is the acting operations manager for the Facility Management Unit. And Patrick will go through the definitions of facility modifications.
Thank you. With the completion of the transfer process in 2009, the vision of SB 1732 became a glass and concrete, nuts and bolts reality, with a portfolio of approximately 20 million square feet and more than 500 court facilities across the state. The transfer process, despite its enormity, was only the beginning. While the capital construction program is a major component to the judicial branch's long-term strategy, the net result of the program will replace only about 10% of the existing portfolio. The hundreds of facilities that remain, which have endured decades of neglect, are now ours to care for. As stewards of these buildings, the judicial branch is now in the facilities management business in a very big way. Facility modifications are a major component to the facilities management business. As one of its many functions, OCCM manages the facility modification program using the Judicial Council adopted prioritization methodology for modifications to court facilities. The policy provides, number one, a methodology to identify, process, and implement facility modifications. Two, it empowers the Trial Court Facility Modification Working Group to oversee the program. And three, and most importantly, it provides guidance for the prioritizing funding based on the critical need and impact of each project to continued court operations. The policy provides a thorough definition, but in its simplest of terms, a facility modification is an effort to restore, replace, or improve facility systems and equipment in order to keep courts operating. A facility modification is generally considered to be any effort over and above the basic daily routines and tasks required to service, maintain, or adjust building components. Facility modifications do not include projects that significantly increase the size of a facility or result in a totally new facility. A large portion of this work is the result of deferred maintenance. If not addressed, deferred maintenance increases the probability of building systems failing and negatively impacting court operations. I would like to introduce Judge Power.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chief, and the members of the Judicial Council. I really want to thank all the members for allowing the working group to make this presentation.
You might be on your cough button.
You're on your cough.
Elbow up off the
I'm new to this process here. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good. I've been a member of the working group since 2007 and the chair since July of 2008. The members of the working group are Judge William F. Heiberger, judge of the Los Angeles County Superior Court, who's to my left and will be making some comments shortly. Judge Donald Byrd, presiding judge of the Glenn County Superior Court, Judge Laura W. Hallgren, who is judge of the San Diego County Superior Court, Mr. Jim Perry, chief executive officer of the Yolo County Superior Court, Ms. Kitty Torrey, chief executive officer of the Contra Costa County Superior Court, and Ms. Sherry R. Carter, who's the chief executive officer of the Riverside County Superior Court. And I mention their names because it's important because I think we have a good cross-section of courts from across the state and large, medium, and small courts that are represented on our working group. The working group meets 8 times a year. We have 4 scheduled meetings at the OCCM offices in Sacramento, and in between those meetings, we have 4 telephone conference meetings. I want to commend Lee Willoughby and all the OCCM staff that do a superb job in preparing the reports lists and executive summaries for our meetings. And I'd also like to recognize someone who's here today in the audience to recognize his hard work, dedication, and expertise, and that's Gerald Fabb, who's the manager of the facilities management unit. Jerry works tirelessly to ensure that critical and necessary projects are identified and presented to the working group for review, and the working group has great confidence in his leadership. Also, he identifies critical facility modifications needs of the trial courts and ensures that those needs are met. The working group has a process in place for reviewing, ranking, and funding facility modifications that, in my view, is fair, equitable, and addresses the critical needs of trial courts statewide. We review facility modification requests from the superior courts, consider the staff reports with the preliminary ranked list of facility modifications, and our working group approves the final list of facility modifications. We review appeals or requests for reconsideration from the trial courts of a ranking or a funding decision made on an individual facility modification, and on occasion, we have conducted site visits to a local court on an as-needed basis. Last year's budget allocation of $50 million allowed us to fund more than 2,000 facility modifications. However, the working group has a list presently of over 5,000 projects waiting to be funded with a preliminary cost estimate of over $700 million. This facility modification list waiting to be funded continues to grow. With the 40% reduction in the facility modification budget from $50 million to $30 million for fiscal year 11-12, OCCM and the working group will have to focus on the highest priority projects, and I expect that as projects are denied funding or are delayed, the number of appeals to the working group will increase. While the AOC has repeatedly requested increases in the facility modification budget by way of budget change proposals, the State Department of Finance has denied those requests. In addition, there is limited funding for routine maintenance. As routine maintenance is deferred, the need for facility modifications increases, putting even more pressure on the facility modification budget. The cut to the facility modification budget this fiscal year is understandable given the budget climate. The working group and the OCCM are committed to managing the allocated budget so that the most critical and necessary projects are funded. However, it is important to note that any further decreases could have a serious impact on the ability to operate and maintain court facilities. The proposed $30 million allocation will allow us to fund the most immediate and critically needed projects in the current fiscal years. However, access to and safety of court facilities is vital to continued court operations, and I do urge the adoption of the $30 million budget allocation for fiscal year 2011-2012 and the adoption of the prioritized list of facility modifications. And I thank the council for hearing my comments, and I'm going to turn it over to Judge Bill Heiberger.
Thanks, David. I, too, am personally honored to be a member of the trial court working group for facilities modification. The OCCM has been very transparent and very cooperative in working with us. It's a real pleasure to work with Lee Willoughby and Jerry and Pat McGrath, and it was a pleasure to work with Fred Stetson before his retirement on account of his health. Well, in a perfect world, most of your facility modification money would be spent on things that are said to be planned improvements and rehabilitation. Redo the entryway to make it ADA accessible, rebuild the clerk's counter to make it efficient or more secure, put in a secured parking for judges where there is none, put in an air conditioner to serve a server room. The truth of the matter is we've inherited such a dilapidated infrastructure that our money gets grabbed by the elevators that's failed, the roof that leaks, the building automation system that's died, the plumbing that is corroded. And it's a totally reactive environment. It's not as it ought to be, but that's the reality. We typically, as a group, 5 days or more before our meeting, get a long list from Lee and Pat of the things that have been approved as emergencies, the things that have been approved by staff as small ticket items, and more particularly for us, a list of items of $15,000 or more ranked that they propose we approve. And particularly as to the things that have not yet been approved, we look at them carefully. We try to see whether or not it makes sense to us as judges, court executives, taxpayers, citizens, to approve these things. And a few things we've spotted, like window washing. There was a proposal to include window washing for the courthouse in Placer in Roseville, and we said no, and staff agreed. When we spotted that, get it out of here. So we're not here to explain to you why we did window washing in Roseville, because we didn't. There are other things that we have questions about, such as window veneer in Solano for the Justice Center in Vallejo. That's what's up on the screen. And we ask the question, we get the answer. Unfortunately, where Judge Power sits, or at least his colleagues sit, they get arson bombs, Molotov cocktails, through the window of the Vallejo Courthouse, not too far from here. So having repaired the fire damage, the proposal by staff to try to avoid having it happen again is to put some kind of anti-shock, anti-breakage veneer on the glass that will bounce the Molotov cocktail off, and hopefully it'll burn in the street instead of burning in the clerk's office. And we happily approve something like that when we understand the reason. There is, unfortunately, and Justice Hoffman pointed this out a few minutes ago, with the budget change proposal for facilities modifications, not enough money going into the operations and maintenance budget. The county facilities payments that you're getting are historically locked as a number fixed in time, and while this hasn't been the most inflationary period, any funding source that is fixed in dollar amounts and doesn't grow is going to present a problem. There was a premise that the general fund would step up to the plate and supplement what the county facility payments didn't to take care of operations and maintenance. There simply is not enough money in that pot. If the budget change proposal that is proposed got approved, I don't think there'd even then be enough money in the pot. But the truth of the matter is all that is a request to the legislature and the Department of Finance. So on account of the fact that there's not enough money in the operations and maintenance pot, we know that we are, through the facilities modification, paying for things which in a perfect world would not go against the immediate and critical needs account and wouldn't go against the court construction account. This is an important problem. Lee, Pat, and his staff are aware of this problem. They're going to look at it thoroughly and frankly, figure out what the response is, and I'm sure you're going to be hearing more about it, because things like boiler inspections and the rest that we wind up having to pay as facilities mods really should go against O&M, but they don't have the money. You know you're dealing in a time of limits, and so they're doing the best they can, but I'm sure you'll hear more about it. One other comment I'd make is you have this list that we sent to you of future possible things to do. This is actually the second item on the agenda. The truth of the matter is it's going to be probably a long time before this gets done, but we are giving you this list because you have asked historically for this list. The money in this fiscal year is probably not going to be spent on this. It's going to be spent on the things that blow up and fail in the next 9 months, some of which are on this list by happenstance, but there are other things that are going to fail, and that's what's going to get the real money.
Excuse me, Judge. Let me ask you, sir. I'm here. I'm here. The list that you're referring to that you had in your hand, is that our what we have as a prioritized list of facility modifications priorities 2 through 6?
Yes.
Okay. And I understand what you just said, so the question I had on that may be a little bit premature, but just in very general terms, whether you or anybody on the panel, how are the preliminary cost estimates arrived at?
I'd have to defer to those who make a living doing building maintenance.
There's a different combination of methodologies. Depending upon whether or not a formal assessment of the facility has been made, if there's a formal assessment of the facility, an RS means type, which is a software program that says, okay, you have a boiler, it's 100 years old. This is the make, manufacturer, this is the size. Here's an equitable replacement cost. Other cost estimates are derived based upon an estimate that is generated by the contractor or an investigator sent out to look at that particular project. We have, as we'll talk about a little bit later, we have a bucket of money, so to speak, that we use to develop those investigative studies and those conceptual estimates to bring before to the working group and say, here's a project, here's the scope of the work, and this particular work will cost about $5,000 or $20,000 or $150,000, depending upon what the scope has been defined. So it comes through multiple different formats, but typically the court or an entity has said something is broken. At that point, we send out either the current wrench-turning service provider, or we send out an investigative team of engineers to go look and investigate at that particular project, make sure we understand all of the ramifications of the project, and then an official cost estimate is developed for that work.
Are there instances where those cost estimates that you initially receive are adjusted based upon your expertise?
Yes. Using the dollar values that come to the working group are rough order of magnitude numbers, because at that point we haven't it depends on the scope. If it's something using Stanley Mosque as an example, where we know that this is $1 million, $2 million roofing project, when the county came to us and said it's $1.3 million, we said, wait a minute, we're not sure that that's the right number. When it's a $5,000 project, then there's a different level of scrutiny on that particular cost estimate.
All right, that's very helpful, and I should say that my question was not intended to turn to the Stanley Mosque building in Sacramento. Being a member of the 3rd District Court of Appeal, I don't want to get into any of that. But
Yes. That was L.A.
L.A.
Oh, okay, that's a relief. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Heiberger. Another example of how facility modifications impact court operations is a minor project in the San Diego County Courthouse. Due to the deferred maintenance of the heat pump system, the pumps failed during the winter. Areas of the courthouse were too cold, with indoor temperatures dropping below 70 degrees. An investigation into the cause revealed that the thank you for the clarity.
Nobody ever gets that golden standard.
Oh, those poor people.
Edwin, I'm doing your work for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The building was built in 1961, and this equipment was original to the building. Unfortunately, this type of deferred maintenance is all too typical of our facilities, and the result is increased cost to the AOC and disruptions to the court. OCCM is in the final phases of a major renovation to the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems in the Santa Clara Hall of Justice. Due to the county strategy of short-term Band-Aid repairs rather than investing in long-term system renewals, the court was impacted by ongoing system failures and a building-wide lack of temperature control. Much of the equipment was original, dating from 1967 and well beyond the intended design life. Chillers, cooling towers, and boilers in both wings of the building were replaced. Air handling units were replaced, and the building automation system brought up to industry standards. Given the limited access, in order to remove the old equipment and install the new, exterior walls had to be opened up and cranes used to put the equipment in place. In order to minimize court disruption, the project was executed between Friday and Sunday evening over the course of several months. The project now allows the AOC to maintain comfortable temperatures in the building, and with the installation of energy-efficient equipment, reduce long-term maintenance and energy costs. Additionally, due to the energy efficiency of this work, the AOC will receive a rebate from the utility of approximately $89,000.
Cool.
Now I'd like to discuss the two recommendations before you today. The first recommendation is to adopt the facility modification budget for the current fiscal year. The specific allocations are as follows: a $3.5 million allocation for statewide planning. This funding primarily covers the cost of project planning, investigative studies, and the design work necessary for the execution of the facilities modification program. Additionally, it includes continuing facility condition assessments and other long-range planning requirements. Much of the square footage that still requires assessment is in the LA portfolio, that is scheduled to transition from the responsibility of the county to the AOC over the course of this year. $4 million is reserved for Priority 1 emergency work. Emergency projects arise as often as 4 to 5 times a week. This reserve allows us to take the immediate action necessary to return a facility to normal operations or prevent an imminent failure. The funding recommendation for the next two categories is based on both the limitation of the program's current funding and the need for OCCM and the working group to remain reactive, be responsive as needs arise, and prevent further deterioration to facilities. Therefore, the working group recommends the remainder of the budget, $22.5 million, be allocated to the unplanned or out-of-cycle priority 2 through 6 category, and that no funding be allocated under the planned priorities 2 through 6 category. This allows the working group to review all facility modifications and recommend funding for those with the highest priority throughout the year. This year, we expect that 80 to 90% of this work will be new priority 2 requirements identified over the course of this year. At its first meeting, the working group developed the trial court methodology for prioritizing and ranking facility modifications. Attachment 2 in the report to the Judicial Council. Potential projects are prioritized based on the following characteristics: overall priority category, public and employee safety, risk management and mitigation, specific justifications, effect on court operations, funding availability, equity among court, implementation feasibility, cost-benefit analysis, planning and design status, plan and planned major capital improvements. The result is the prioritized list in Attachment 3 to the report to the Judicial Council. The list contains in excess of 4,200 items at a total estimated cost of $700 million. To date, our assessments have targeted the largest court facilities across the state simply because that is where the greatest potential for court impact lies. These assessments account for approximately 65% of the square footage for which the AOC has direct operational responsibility. We anticipate that as we complete the balance of the assessments, the backlog of deferred work will increase proportionately. The Trial Court Facility Modification Working Group's draft annual report, the proposed facility modification budget for fiscal year 11-12, and the proposed list of prioritized projects were posted to the trial courts for review and comment via Saranis on May 20th. A video providing an overview of the report and the working group's process featuring Judge Power was also posted to Saranis. The report was also emailed to the chairs of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and the chair and the Court Executive Advisory Committee. One comment was received from the chair of SEAC and regarding the allocation for statewide planning. After discussions, we clarified why the allocation was justified. However, the report was modified to better clarify why this funding is required. No substantive changes were made to the budget or the prioritized list of projects that we are recommending today. I would like to hand the presentation back to Lee Willoughby.
Thank you, Patrick. So, again, we asked the council to adopt the $30 million budget allocation and adopt the prioritization list of facility modifications, and would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Judge Wesley.
I don't really have a question. I wanted to thank you, Lee Willoughby, and all of the members of this committee. This is an extremely difficult job. There are so many damaged buildings that you are dealing with. Am I on my button? There are so many damaged buildings that you're dealing with, and there's not enough money. It's clear there's not enough money to fix it. And so you're going to get, I suppose you already do, flack from everybody that's in one of those buildings that something's wrong and you can't fix it right now because there's no money and you have other priorities. And that's not an enviable position to be in. But your patience and your efforts should not be missed for all the work that you have done. And I really do appreciate it. I will move eventually, but I don't want to interrupt some other conversations, but I will move to adopt your proposal.
Second. I heard a second from Judge Waters.
Are you moving?
Yes.
Thanks.
Further discussion or comment? Judge Rosenberg.
I just want to make sure the record's clear that I agree with everything Judge Wesley has said so that it can be said one time. But I do agree with him. But, no, I think you've done a wonderful job because you've squeezed 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag here. The needs are great and the money is few. I do have one comment, and that is it'd be nice to see the priority list in two formats. The second format would show by jurisdiction so that, you know, all projects in San Diego can be seen together. All projects in Fresno can be seen together as we're flipping back and forth through the list.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. Organize it.
Thank you. Fritz.
I just wanted to say, as someone who remembers when the AOC, before it grew, and it was about 10 people, this is but one example, and a very good one, of why the AOC has grown.
Thank you, Fritz. Any further comment before I call for the vote? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Judge Power, Judge Heiberger, Lee, and
Thank
Pat.
You.
Thank you very much.
Good presentation.